Thank you to John and Chris, the white whale, to everybody who I may have forgotten. So, the bakery. One day, we drove to my uncle's bakery for pound cake, bread, and the poppy seed buns. I nibbled clockwise from the rim to the white icing food in the center. He baked such terrible bread, we balled the loaves in the bluegill bowl. Seemed pompous, those who eat them suspect. Uncle Phil had lost most of his tongue cancer by then, but he was easy to understand. Aunt Florence nodded the strand while the brothers looming over me talked. A newspaper appeared, the whole front page, a photograph my father snatched away. Somehow, I knew Marilyn Monroe had done it, but wasn't thought ready to know. Trevellini's buns were so much better, it was ridiculous, but we went there in secret. The first line of this poem is also its title. When Mike Sparks held the 30-06 in his mouth and pushed his big toe down, pieces of skull spun to the floor. No blood flew out. Mike Sparks lay back loose and easy. That's how I imagined it anyway, as Bruce Malone told what he heard. Linda Falcone snoring delightfully. Felicia trying not to giggle. This is our first day of high school, and what loveliness we've come into that summer. How is it so suddenly possible for the blue glistening vein in Linda's temple to move like that when she drawled her Minnesota drawl? This was before the White Album and Earth Day and our own race war. Before anyone we knew got high or drafted or actually got naked with anyone else. This was when the body counts still cheered me, when I still wanted to be like Custer, when remembering how Felicia's chest moved every time she breathed taught me gratitude. Yet Mike Sparks wasn't there anymore. I held my breath. Things got fuzzy. My heart slowed and drummed louder. Everything would disappear like magic. I kept holding it. Things changed. This is one of my several, it's not that matters, but one of my several grumpy old guy poems. I'm going to soon compose a poem that ponders the mystery of how gift became a verb. This is called Some Random Issues. Join my poem. Things are so much more random now. What with all the issues everyone has, especially when going off on someone or having been gone off on, or going off of what someone says without first feeling them or her or him, so no words get put in mouths. I mean, what you put out comes back on you, but to stray from my lane a second, let me pull your coat about this random thing, because it looks this old head like memes are another thing, right? Sculpt the hat Pharrell Williams rocked when he first got big. Dude looked like a miniature Tom Mix, you feel me? Whitest dude in the movies till Gene Autry, but still. Dang, I came up when it was dope to wear a coonskin cap. So I know from stupid looks, but phew, Pharrell ain't the only one who needs a new haberdasher. Hate me for harshing so hard, but every TikTok makes my home in the land of Maypole more freaky. Country where one stored one's milk in the frigid air, and the handkerchiefs had yet to become Kleenex. Neutrons never used to be random. Electrons once orbited. No way gamma, could ever modify a knife. Notice a proton, or it isn't. Rock that, dude. Binary to the max. I have a size 8 head, so I can flip any riddle, believe you me. And now we have an enraged old guy, Tom. Called Improvisation on a Journal Snippet. Do this. Air parentheses. With magazine article. Or another psychotic ape poem. I am 44 years old, wrote I at 44. I feel portentous and belligerent, I continued. Has the mom father bearing his son piggyback through their village because the son cannot rely, nobody could, on ankles the circumference of my thumbs ever bemoaned or even wool gathered? The wispiest urge to contemplate his age or emotional temperature. No matter how incisive or despairing or lethally obtuse the question, the dioxin that so befouled several Laotian provinces, infants without eyes slide from their mothers 50 years after the last total war molecule settled somewhere on those hectares of ground. What? The dioxin, what? Ransack the OED in vain for an adequate verb. I'm 70, and the taxes I first paid in 1969 bludgeoned me. How sort pennies for Social Security from pennies for Lockheed, Dow Chemical, the Atomic Energy Commission, strict enforcement of the Fair Housing? The budgetary fucking allocations, the fucking euphemisms, the silver-haired fucks, bartering shitloads of powdered milk for freight cars sloshing with blood. I stacked 30 dozen cartons of eggs to pay for that. My father sold bottles and bait to pay for that. My drop from sight friend Don plopped his platoon in a Charlie 3 plot of jungle to smoke dope and empty clips of the sky till they trudged home to report a fantastical body count for that. My mother got bitten by kids labeled emotionally disturbed for that. A former in-law, a song made rich, tortured himself into a mustachioed pretzel every year to avoid paying a penny more than his genius accountant made possible for that. His that totted up the rickets and goyish of beatings his body could never forget, despite the East Asian Buddhas and Mughal tapestries cramming the floor through apartment a block west of Zayn. The humpback 13-year-old, the hydrocephalic boy, the girl whose muscles do nothing but contract. Composition, color values, the photographer has serious chops. Down generations beyond counting, poison will plunder. How portentous the equipoise of syntax. A magazine on whose back cover a couple lounges on the lip of a rooftop pool, just one of the amenities to which their mortgage payment entitles them. Poem is an elegy for Estelle Bennett, one of the three Ronettes. She was a sister of Veronica Bennett, better known as Ronnie Spector. Her last name was Spector because she married the lunatic homicidal genius who made these wonderful songs from the early to mid 60s. Anyway, I think that's all. Be My Baby. The desolate facts of her post-Ronettes time aside, all I know, and it's everything, is her voice, sassy and nasal and bright, near Ronnie's, and the shimmery bullseye blasted through the Art Deco back door of the bottle cap, jelly jar, matchbook castle, specter brooded up out of nothing, but bash and swagger and more white lipstick and knees and beehives, gothic as sharp, and thighs and women's thighs of thighs, boy. She sang that mauve, of course, all three shimmying Ronettes thrust their willowy bare arms out and near screamed the command borne along, white water roar that drowned the slap on the ass, tambourine and wheedling plea and Valhalla drums, and the facts matter. None of us twirl anymore and some dead. Us, those who woke up one day to find something called a transistor radio pressed to an ear with a thing a billion words couldn't say, filling what didn't need filling the night before, which should mean no one who made or heard it knew anything but joy from then on. But that's a last call, I promise, of willed innocence. And 3 minutes of the sublime don't make Estelle Bennett's 40 years of mostly pain worth it, or pardon anyone's sins. But say you're Patty Smith, doing the Watusi in a cellar outside Pittman, New Jersey. Or John Reff, swatting his knee in a sweltering attic in Vineland. Both you and thousands more devotees of WIBG in Philly, belting out, "Be my little baby, my one and only baby. A woe, a woe, a woe, a woe." And 40 years later, Smith thrusts her willowy arms out into a hot Pittsburgh encore, howls the chorus with a blissful grimace, while Rep in the balcony watusis his saggy ass off. Fact matter. My God, do they ever. I end with this poem, which is set in Taos, New Mexico. One's called Aspens. Aspens clatter in the wind outside the casita where I read Northrop Frye on the apocalypse. Finished for now, with teeth pulverizing contemplation of class enmity, I bask in the light of brief days. The woman 3 doors down told me this morning of the instructions the crows have inferred from the visored men in the black jet. Best listen when crows or magpies speak. I wave whenever I walk to the graveyard where Kit Carson's bones rest, despite what he and his did to so many. Forgetting history for days at a time now, I stroll the consecrated ground behind the chapel where 3 signs speak of keeping valuables safe. Mockingbirds, a pinon, 3 boys zipping a frisbee, 5 aspens. A bench, blue as the doors open to the cool darkness of the sanctuary. Fry said that scriptures are a vast metaphor, hiding the real to reveal it. Each of us, Moses, dying inside of Canaan. So far, work, reading, and a skepticism I can't recall healthy are my worship, but only a fool would fail to listen up this high on the mountain. Thank you very much.